Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome back to The Doubters on, where are we? Thursday, the 24th of September. And yeah, it's quite a miserable, a lot of British weather here today. We're getting into the autumn now, which is great. And we've got a guest here with us today. It's Amanda, who's joining us. Amanda Stanhope, I should introduce you by your full name. And Amanda's joining us from Michigan. What's it like in Michigan today?
Today, I'm looking straight out a window right now, and it is sunny. I think it's supposed to be like 70 degrees, which Fahrenheit. I don't know what that would be for you.
Okay, I'm not going to work it out.
But, you know, for September, that's pretty darn good. So we're enjoying it.
Oh, okay. Actually, I'm really grateful for the rain. I like a bit of rain.
Do you?
I often think that the grey skies kind of reflect my internal state often a bit better.
Okay.
There's a lot about me.
Well, I can appreciate that too, even though I appreciate the sunshine. But
yeah, appreciate the sunshine too. But anyway, yeah, so it's good to have you here, Amanda.
Yeah.
Thank you. And so our topic today is the expectation gaps. I'll introduce that in a minute, but just to say, anybody who may be listening to this recording for the first time, this is The Doubters. This is my private online community. And this is a space, I class this as a learning space, an exploratory space for these conversations all related to different aspects around this project of mine about the purpose of self-doubt. And today, as I said, we're talking about expectations, and there really does seem to be a very strong link between self-doubt and expectations. I'm sure we'll get into that. Yeah, we've got a couple of people joined us here live. You're very welcome. Really good to see you. And just to say, you know, anybody's welcome to join us here live. I always love to see people here live. You're welcome to join into the conversation at any time throughout with the chat box. Just jump in any time. And we'll also open up at about 20 to the hour, and you can come on and make a contribution or ask a question, say what's coming up for you at that time. It's really welcome. But by the same token, you know, you're also welcome just to come along and listen and lurk and, you know, get a feel of what it's about. And I just want to make this a really welcome space for you to come and hang out and take part as much or as little as you want to. As I said, I always love it when people join us here live. It makes me feel very loved. So thank you. Yeah. Oh, what else do I want to say? Nothing. Okay, let's get into this conversation. So Amanda, going to introduce you now. And Amanda Stanhope is the founder of The Expectation Gaps. And would you class The Expectation Gaps as an online community as well? I guess it is, isn't it?
I would like it to be.
You'd
let's
like
put it
to
that
be.
Way. I haven't quite gotten it there yet, but it is a place for people to come to. For people that feel maybe like they don't quite fit in anywhere else.
Oh, right.
For people who feel like they don't have a sense of belonging. Those are the type of people I would like to speak to.
Oh, me too. Totally. We're definitely speaking to the same audience.
Yeah.
Most definitely. That's great. And so, Amanda, so you really provide thought leadership through your content creation for this community. And
right.
I always like to introduce people through my connection with them. And I received an email from you out of the blue one day, and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
You said, I have used your content in one of my articles. And that is like the biggest compliment for anyone who's creating content, for someone to come along and say, I've quoted you in one of my pieces, you know. So that was great.
It was great. I mean, the video I watched of yours was just amazing, so I had to.
Oh, thank you.
Had no other option once I found it. I had to use it.
Thank you. The video we're talking about, I'll link it into the email I'm sending out, but it was about from my YouTube channel that I ran last year. Actually, this was my foray into content creation last year, my little experiment.
Sure.
My YouTube channel, and it was about taking responsibility, but specifically taking responsibility when it's not your responsibility.
Exactly. And the main thing I loved out of that was you said something along the lines of be there for people when they're ready to be helped.
Oh yeah.
And like sometimes that's the best that you can do.
Yeah.
And I just love that. And I actually come back to that thought quite almost every day. I kind of repeat that thought in my head because that's something I definitely need to be reminded of.
Be there for people when they're ready to be helped, you know? Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Because I always jump in too soon to try to help, but maybe they're not ready yet. And then, you know, I have this expectation, which we're going to talk about expectations, but have this expectation that they're going to just appreciate all this help and that I'm going to be the superhero or something. And, you know, it doesn't always turn out that way.
No.
if they're not ready for the help.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, you know, probably you can probably tell from me even coming out with a phrase like that, that I've learned that one the hard way myself.
Sure.
Yeah, I've had to learn to not get, you know, involved in other people unless they really want me. So, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, great. Mark just made a comment here, Mark's in Calgary, and he says, well, then that's my whole thing, belonging. Yeah, Mark does some really interesting work around belonging. And
really? Cool. Yeah. I have to check that out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're going to have to get him on here sometime, I think, to have a proper conversation. But anyway,
yeah,
that's another week. So, okay, is there anything that you want people to know about you before what I said?
The main thing, I guess, I would just say is that as a content creator, and someone who I'm always trying to put out positive messages and trying to help people improve their lives. And I live what I write. Everything I put out, I live. However, I always want to just make it sure people realize that I know I'm not perfect. I'm learning every day as I go. I don't have all this stuff figured out. Even the stuff that I write about, I don't have it figured out. I'm just passing on information that I've come along that's helped me. Because I think sometimes when people are looking for inspiration or they're looking to someone to help them with their personal development, whoever they're looking up to or look not up to maybe, but looking to maybe seems like, oh, they have it all together already. And that can sometimes be overwhelming to people and hold them back from their personal development because they're like, I'll never get there. This person is already so far ahead of me. And that is just not the case. I struggle with the same things everybody else struggles with every day. So,
yeah, that's great.
And self-doubt and, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, and that's great. And I really appreciate you showing up with that intention, if you like, that, you know, I don't have all this figured out. And that's very much my approach as well.
Right.
But by the same token, it doesn't stop you getting out there and talking about stuff that's important to you. And, you know, and what we can do in this day and age, actually being able to do, you know, run little communities like this, isn't it?
Great? I know. It's awesome.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great. Okay. So let's talk about the expectation gaps. What are we talking about? So I'm interested, actually, why is it plural, expectation gaps?
Well, the real reason,
the real reason
is because when I tried to get the domain name, the expectation gap was already taken.
Oh, look at that little bit of honesty.
That's the real reason. But actually, I liked gaps better anyways once I thought about it more. But
well, that's interesting because it actually does make you think, because it's expectation gaps does almost catch your attention, because it's like,
it,
okay,
it's,
yeah,
it's actually
there's
better.
More than one.
It wasn't my original intent, but it actually was better that way, I think.
I think it does make sense. Okay, and so one of the things you said, which I really liked, is you said that expectations are the lens through which we see the world, the lens through which we view the world. Do you want to say something about that? What are we talking about here? What are these expectations?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've come to realize that every time we take any action, we have an expected result, no matter how big or how small. I mean, even when you pick up a pen, you expect it to feel a certain way. You expect it to be a certain weight, whatever. So you can take that a little, you know, trivial example like that, all the way up to, say, you're getting married. And you have an expectation of the role that you're going to play in that marriage and an expectation of the role that your spouse is going to play in that marriage and everything in between. You know, there's just so many expectations that we create on a daily basis and we're not even aware of them because it's just so automatic. It's so subconscious. And like as you just read, these expectations are constantly creating the way that we see the world, and they're changing our thoughts, behaviors, and actions without us even knowing it until we really stop to start examining those expectations. And if those expectations that we're living by are based on someone else's expectations for us or based on expectations that we have put on ourselves that we haven't really thought about why we put those expectations on ourselves to begin with, then that's what creates the expectation gap. And the expectation gap is the space between where we are today and our full potential, really, realizing our full potential. And when we haven't created a world that's in line with our values, a world that's meaningful to us, and true to who we are, because it's based on other people's expectations or our unexamined expectations, that's what creates the gap. And that's what keeps us from getting to self-fulfillment.
Yeah.
So that's really my purpose, is I'm trying to become, I'm trying to live a fulfilling life and get there. And then along the way, I want to help other people do the same thing.
Yeah. Wonderful. That's great. Thank you for explaining that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. I love what was said. There's a lot that you said there that I really liked. But I think specifically, I think, you know, it's how we're unaware of our expectations, how these unconscious drivers can really take us somewhere. And and that place that it takes is, you know, you talked about our own creation. You know, this is our own creation. So it's almost by being able to examine and question these expectations and understand them and bring them into the conscious, that's how we start to move towards our full potential, because we're taking more of an active part in our creation of where we're going.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting. I'll just share a little story, and I know it'd be interesting to hear how you came into this. But, you know, sure. I think why this is so important to me is because of where expectations took me in my life.
Okay.
And, you know, so I came to a place in my early 30s. And actually, this is the story that starts my first book, Your Whole Life Economy. And I talk about how I'd worked really quite hard to get to where I was in life. Mm-hmm. And I pretty much achieved everything that I set out to achieve. And I have to say that my ambitions were not very high, but it was about, you know, I wanted a certain job I thought when I'd get to a certain level in life, you know, I'd have a job and, you know, a house and I'd be self-sufficient and that kind of stuff. Then I thought that, oh, well, I'd be happy, you know, happy or fulfilled, or I'd be something. You know?
Right, exactly.
You know,
yes.
I'd
I know that
feel
feeling.
Something.
Yes.
I would feel something. I would be enlightened. I don't know what I expected, actually. You know, that's the whole point of just not questioning it.
Yep.
And getting to this point, and it was actually after I'd had my first experience with coaching in my early 30s, in the early 2000s, so it's giving away my age a bit, it doesn't matter. Anyway, and you know, there was a real moment, actually. I was sitting in a traffic jam one day and I just got this real sense of dissatisfaction with my life.
Yeah.
And I thought, God, this is my life. I achieved everything I set out to achieve, but this is just miserable. It felt soulless and superficial is the words I used when I thought about it. And I thought, this is not the life that I set out to have at all. And really, that's where expectations took me, or specifically these unconscious expectations that I'd never thought to question. This is what society wants of me. This is what I should be doing as a woman in this day and age, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, so that's where it took me.
Yeah, and I've been there. That's what led me to where I am. And it's funny because I've actually hit that spot twice. And the spot that I'm referring to is a spot in life where all of a sudden you have everything on paper. You have everything you could ever want. You have everything you've been working for. And then you still have this knot in your stomach just telling you, this is not, something's missing. I don't know what it is, but something's missing. This is not all I'm meant to do. And you just feel so, God, it's so, I'm trying to think of the right way to say it. It's almost like a boredom.
Mm.
Like where you're just anxious and looking for something. But yeah, it's funny because I've been there twice. And the first time I came to the end of it was when, so I was married before. And when that relationship ended, it was huge. I mean, it was just that, just changed the whole trajectory of my life. And so that was the first time that I thought I had everything, and then it all came crashing down and I had to start over. So then I started over, and then I got to the point, and I'm remarried now and everything's great. And I got to the point where again, I had everything again. But still I got to the point where I felt like something was missing. And so that's where the expectation gap started, because I finally like, okay, I need to do something with this. This is the second time I've gotten to this point in my life, you know, enough. It's time to do something different.
What did you do?
Well, I actually quit. So I was a CPA or a certified public accountant, and I don't know what that's called. in other countries, but basically a professional accountant. And I did that for, I was an accountant in some fashion for 25 years. I've been an accountant. And what I did was I quit my job, my career, whatever you want to call it, and just said, I am starting this organization. I'm going to give it my all, and we're going to see where it goes. So that was a big change that I made.
Yes, it sounds like you took a real big leap at that time.
Yes. And I didn't take it, you know, haphazardly. It was planned. And I had a financial plan and all this stuff. So I don't encourage people to just one day go in and quit their job. It wasn't like that. Yeah. There was a lot of thought that went into it, discussing it with my husband, even talking with my employer at the time about it, because I gave them plenty of notice. And, you know, so that worked out well. And, you know, just talking even with friends and talking to people, doing research on how I would even go about creating a website and creating a blog, or is how I thought of it at the time.
Brilliant website, by the way, and blog.
Thank you so much. So it wasn't haphazard by any means, but once I made that decision, I went for it. At that point, I didn't let myself doubt creep in. Yeah. I just said, this is what I have to do, because if I don't, I know I'm going to regret it for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to live with that regret. I would rather live with the fear of the unknown right now than, you know, live with the regret later on.
Yeah. So that's really interesting, that sort of link with self-doubt. You said, I didn't let self-doubt really get to me at that stage. But yet, you know, I guess how I would see it is you put yourself in a zone of self-doubt.
Yeah, I did.
You allowed yourself you opened yourself up to self-doubt at that stage, because, you know, this is the way I see it, is you're coming from a place of certainty and everything's safe and secure and I could carry on like this. And I was in that same place.
Yeah.
I could carry on like this, and, you know, this could carry on for the rest of my life. And, oh my God, how miserable would that be?
Exactly.
I always say that, you know, I got into a comfort zone once and it was the most uncomfortable place I've ever been.
Isn't that so funny? I know. That's what I mean. It's like I was just bored out of my mind, even though I was busy and I had a great job and I was making good money. I have a family. I have everything I want. But it's still, yeah. I was just bored out of my mind in some respects.
I know. Yeah. And so it was almost like I really welcomed the uncertainty of the unknown.
Right.
Because that felt more exciting to me. And what we're talking about here, I recognize what we're talking about is you know, a huge amount of privilege being able to take these steps.
And that was a huge part of, I'm glad you say that, because that was a huge part of me making that decision too, because I sat here at my computer and I'm thinking, I have all the tools I need. I'm financially secure. I have support from people. I have so much going for me that it's almost like a slap in the face to people that don't, if I don't go for it.
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree. Yeah. It's like, you know, I've got opportunities before me.
Right.
And, you know, it's like people can think, well, you know, I should keep myself safe because other people don't have those opportunities. But it's almost like if you've got those opportunities, you should take it for the people who haven't got those opportunities.
Exactly.
And then try and give back what you can, which obviously it seems what you're doing. And that feels like quite an important principle for me.
Mm-hmm. And now that you say that, I remember seeing that somewhere that you in your writing or something.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And anyways, I remember that really resonating with me because it's so true. Because mm-hmm. I consider myself to be a very privileged person and I don't take that for granted.
Mm. Yeah. Brilliant. So as a matter of interest, just how mm-hmm. long ago was it that you...
Oh, sure. So this was in... So let's see, April of 2019 is when I officially started working on the expectation gaps full time. And that coincided with, so because I was a CPA, our tax season here in the United States is from January through April, because tax returns are due on April 15th. So I made the decision in the fall, but I was not going to leave my employer in the fall because I was not going to leave them before tax season hit. Yeah. So I stayed there through tax season. So I had a good 4 or 5 months to kind of figure out where I wanted to go with it before I really hit the ground. But yeah, so it's been about a year and a half now.
So it's still quite new, really, isn't it?
It really
still
is.
Quite a new space. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's tough, I think, when you're new into something, starting something out, because it's like it's huge uncertainty, isn't it?
Yes.
It's like massive uncertainty. It's like
and all the expectations. You know, we're talking expectations and self-doubt, but all the expectations kick in because you know, I would look at other bloggers, other content creators who are doing videos or whatever. And, you know, you look at where they are and you think that you should just be there within a couple months.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, I've been doing it a year and a half and I'm nowhere near there yet. But I can see the progress and I know how much I've learned over that time. And I can tell I'm getting there, but it's a lot slower than I would like it to be.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I get you. And it's really interesting because we were just having a little chat. I want to get on in a minute to talking about your process for working through expectations.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, but I just want to say we were just talking before we came on, and I was talking about my social media resistance because I can't.
Right.
Social media honestly makes me feel quite ill sometimes. I like it. I like going on there as a consumer and, you know, liking people's stuff and, you know, getting a little bit of inspiration. But most of the time, I don't want to be a part of it, you know.
Right.
And so as a content creator, it's like a huge limitation for me because, like,
well,
you know.
It's hard because I don't use social media personally.
Right.
So that was really hard for me to get used to. And I still don't use a ton of social media. But yeah, it's really tough when you don't do it personally to try to figure out how to use it professionally, if you want to call it that.
Well, I think, you know, the challenge I get around social media is that sense of expectation of what it actually takes to get traction on social media. And I just think, but anyway, that's why I've created this community. So this community is my response to that. So
no, I love that. Yeah it's just great response. Yes.
Yeah. So I'm just watching the time here. So let's get into talking about, because you've got a specific process for working through expectations, which you call being deliberate thinking.
Yes.
Which I really love, because I think that really links very much to my concept around, you know, self-doubt, because it's very entering the space of self-doubt in a very deliberate way.
Yep.
And so, yeah. So can you talk us through your deliberate thinking process?
Sure. So what deliberate thinking is it's basically an intentional living lifestyle, because intentional living is kind of a phrase that's been tossed around a lot on the internet right now, and a lot of people are kind of familiar with that phrase. But intentional living basically just means that you are consciously living a life that coincides with your values and coincides with what creates meaning in your life. So that is basically all an intentional living lifestyle is. But first, you have to know what your values are. I call the intentional living lifestyle I've adopted deliberate thinking. And I created what I call the cycle of deliberate thinking, which has 5 components. And they're all interrelated. I mean, none are really more important than another. However, I would say, as I just said, the core values is one of the components, is to personify your core values. That's kind of one of the most important ones, because you kind of need to know what your core values are before you can do a whole lot of other personal development work, or you don't even know what you're working toward. So that's one of the components. And the other components, which we can talk about more if you want to, but I'll just list them off. So there's personify your core values. Examine expectations, execute with intention, stay curious, and respect other points of view.
So staying curious and then respecting other points of view is two different.
Correct.
Yeah. So that's like a 5-stage respect others. Yeah.
Exactly. And like I say, I think if you practice all of those things, not even that you have to practice all 5 every single day, but if they're kind of in the back of your mind and you practice them and they kind of become second nature to you, I believe along the way, you're going to end up living a fulfilling life.
Mm.
And you're going to find that meaning. You're going to find that belonging, because you're going to be attracting people who have the same values as you. You're going to be able to start weeding out the people that don't have the same values as you and aren't living the kind of life that you want to live. And so that's why I really think how that works is it's just kind of a daily practice.
Yeah.
It becomes almost subconscious.
Yeah, I can see how, I can almost see the development process as you talk through that. And yeah, I love it actually, because, you know, what you just talked about there actually is, well, once you start living in line with your values and personifying that, you will attract other people who live by your values.
Exactly.
By the same token, it's also really important to respect other people's values who don't live by yours. You know what I mean?
Right.
It doesn't create exactly. an environment of us and them, which can, you know, cause such
right. True. That's a great point. Yeah, because that's not the point at all. It's not an us and them thing. But it is, but you do at the same time have to weed out some people from your life.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, that's just how it is. In order for you to live a fulfilling life, you're going to have to weed some people out along the way.
Yeah, and doing that with respect, you know? And
right.
That's it. Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing, isn't it? It's not, and that's, you know, that's been an important thing for me as well. But I guess so, I would say my number one value is peace of mind.
Okay, I love that.
Living a peaceful life, and fortunately, my husband has a very similar value. So it's just the two of us, and we have a very peaceful life. Two of us and our crazy dog, and and we do live pretty much an idyllic life. And I think this is why one of the things that, you know, I don't want to kind of go on social media and say, "Hey, look at ours all the time," because I just think, no, this is like, it's precious, it's personal to me.
True. Yeah.
And then sometimes I feel a conflict with, you know, the work I'm doing, because the work I'm doing feels big and important. And then sometimes I think, well, you know, I don't really want a six-figure business, if you like. There's this whole concept around a six-figure business when you get into this, like, you know, that feels like an expectation. And I think I don't really want the pressure of that. I just want to be able to sustain a peaceful life. So in a way, that value, if I like, personifying that value is really helps to drive me. But it also helps to pull me back against that expectation of like what success would mean and getting my message out there and that kind of stuff. Does that make sense?
Exactly. Oh, yeah, that's huge. I know exactly what you mean. And I struggle with that same thing in the beginning, and it's kind of funny because when I think about it now, it seems kind of funny, but so I had this idea. I'm like, oh, so what if I get really famous and I start making all this money, and what am I gonna do with all this money? It's like, I don't even want that much money, because especially being a CPA for so long and accountant for so long, I've seen what money can do to people.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, I don't. So I actually have structured the expectation gaps as a nonprofit organization.
Oh, wow.
My part of my goal is to be able to donate money to support mental health awareness. The other part of my goal is to keep myself in check, because that means that I can only draw a salary from the expectation gaps, and that salary has to be approved by my board.
Wow.
So that keeps me in check, and it keeps me humble and where I am, because I didn't want to make any more money than I was making before I quit my job as an accountant. So that was kind of my own control that I put in place, if you will.
That's amazing. That's really amazing.
I saw that coming down the road. I've seen it happen to too many people. I'm like, nope, I'm not going down that road.
Well, it's interesting, because just going back to what we were saying earlier, it's about where the expectations took us, because it's like, be careful what you wish for. And it would be all too easy to get caught up in chasing success and worldly success and all those measures. You know, there's metric measures, if you like, of social media followers and all that kind of stuff. But actually,
right.
You know, is that going to give you what you really want? So it's all questioning that in advance, I suppose, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Values to guide you.
Right.
Yeah.
And luckily, I know that now. You know, 10 years ago, I wouldn't have had that kind of foresight.
No.
Like you say, I've been living this without knowing it and without giving it this name. I've been living this deliberate thinking lifestyle for probably about at least 10 years now. And again, I only recently named it that within the last year here or so, but I've been living it. And so this is one result of that, because I would not have before that, I wouldn't have had the foresight to make that decision.
So how would you recommend to somebody to find out about their values? Because that's actually, it's probably not as easy as it might seem.
No. It's very, I think it's probably very difficult for most people. So actually, there's a good plug for me here because, so what I did is Brené Brown, and I can't remember which book it's in, but in one of her books, she lists like 80 different values or so. And she says you need to narrow it down to two or three. And so I did that. I went through the exercise. But that's, I think that's got to be really hard for a lot of people to do. So I actually have on my website a link where I have linked to Brené's list. So you can go through the list and figure it out yourself if you want. Or I actually have a questionnaire I put together where you can answer that questionnaire and I will help you try to figure out what your values are.
Okay.
And then I give people two, you know, and hopefully one of them hits home. And if it doesn't, then, you know, we'll go back through, I'll ask some different questions and we'll get it figured out. But I believe it's so important to me, and that's a free service I offer because it's so important to me that people really know what their core values are. Because like I said, that's basically the foundation of all of your personal growth.
Yeah.
Starts with your core values.
Yeah. That's so interesting. Yeah. And it's a questioning and also almost like, you know, a doubting exercise, I think, as well, because it's like being brutally honest with ourselves. Because, you know, we did this exercise when I was training to be a coach and we were given this list of values. And it's like, oh, pick out your top 10 values. So, of course, everybody puts honesty, integrity, authenticity, all that kind of stuff. It's just like, they're just one word. And I remember looking at this exercise thinking, this is bullshit. I'm sorry. But, you know, because it's like we would pick out what we want to be.
Exactly.
But it's not actually what
we are,
you know. And I remember at that time, actually, I was going through, well, my husband and I were going through a bit of a difficult time. And I was like, well, one of my most important values is actually supporting my husband at the moment. You know, that's really important to me. That's what's driving me, you know.
Right.
And it's not on this list. So I guess
it's not a one word phrase that I can neatly put on it. No. Yeah, a piece of paper. Right.
So it is. I think it's an exercise that's really worth, you know, it's a deep consideration. It's not a tick box exercise, is it? Deep consideration.
And I think that, too, it's easier for someone else to spot sometimes because you're not so close to it. Because like you said, you answer the way that you want to answer or the way that you expect that you should be or whatever you want to say. And you're not always honest. I'm not always honest with myself. So I know, you know, none of us are always honest with ourselves.
And I think that's the human experience.
Yeah.
Is we're absolutely not really honest with ourselves. It's very difficult to be honest with ourselves.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. So then, so that's why I try to help people along with that process because it is easier probably for me to identify what their values are because I'm not close to it and I don't know them. All I know is these five questions that they've answered. And sometimes that can actually make it easier to figure out.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds great. I'll definitely put a link to that on the email that I'll send out. Cause that sounds really interesting thing to do.
Yeah.
So I just want to start. So examining expectations, how do you go about examining your expectations?
Yeah, that's a tricky one. So basically, the way that you would go about it is when you're feeling stressed out about something, when you're worried about something, when you are maybe being triggered by someone and you don't know why you're being triggered by them, just stop. Like your body's giving you clues. You know when your body's giving you clues that something isn't right. So just stop, take a breath, and just start thinking through what's really driving that response that you're having. Is it an expectation you put on yourself? Is it an expectation someone else put on you? Is it an expectation society put on you? And then you can start drilling. Once you've kind of figured that part out, you can start drilling down more and say, okay, was that really something I'm willing to live with? Because that's something I got this from Gary John Bishop. I don't know if you know his work.
Never heard of him, no.
but his book actually was pretty pivotal in my life. But he says something like, you have the life that you're willing to live. And that is just really stuck with me. And so that's why I always try to use those words, is what are you willing to do? So then you look at your expectations and say, am I willing to live within this expectation or not? And maybe you are. There are some of the expectations, of course, you're willing to live. And I was actually thinking about this the other day, knowing we were going to be doing this recording here. So last weekend, I had a birthday party to go to for my niece. And I'm expected to go because it's family. And that I'm absolutely fine with, because I value my family. I value that time. I have no problem living within that expectation. I'm also expected to bring a gift. And I'm okay with that too. But if I was expected to bring, you know, a very expensive gift, for example, I'm not willing to live with that. I'm bringing my little $20 gift, whether you want me to buy a $100 gift or not. So that is just a silly example, but a real life example of an expectation I would not be willing to live.
Yeah. With. So for me, what I'm getting there is, by examining your expectation, that particular scenario, is you're finding your boundaries.
True. Yeah, that's another good thing to call it, really, because that's what your expectations are kind of the boundaries that you're willing to live within.
Yeah. Yeah. And boundaries, you know, how I define it is looking after myself around other people, you know, which can often be difficult, especially when we get into that expectations. I don't know what you want from me. I don't know what's required from me here and all
right.
that stuff. Yeah.
So, well, and it's just so important just to ask the question. And it's hard to do. But it really isn't when you stop to think. But just to ask someone, what are you expecting out of this? Yeah. Whatever the interaction is. And you don't have to use that word. You don't have to say what are you expecting out of this. But to somehow get to that point where you really do understand what the other person's expecting of you and what you're expecting of them. Because that causes so many problems. And that's a whole other episode we could talk about.
Yeah, I'm sure. Just thinking that we could get into this conversation.
Yeah, I mean, but just that mismatch of expectations causes so many problems. And we create. So then when we don't know what someone else's expectations are, we create our own. And they could be way off the mark. And they usually are way off the mark.
Yeah, totally.
We might get close. But, you know, most of the time they're way off the mark. And then we're creating all the stress on ourselves for absolutely no reason.
Oh, totally. Because we've assumed that we know what other people are thinking and what other people want. And it's actually, that's, you know, assumption, I guess, is another form of expectation that we create.
Right.
Like, and it's about getting clarity around the unknown in this relationship. And I guess that links to your staying curious.
True. Yeah, it does link to that as well. Yeah. So that's how they kind of all have to do with each other in a way. And again, you're respecting someone else's point of view in that case, too, because you are respecting that they have expectations that might not align to yours. They might not be the same, but you can get to the same spot if you both know where each other's coming from.
Mm. Wonderful. I'm going to open up now. If anybody wants to come on for make a contribution or ask a question or any observations, or perhaps tell us where expectations have taken you, feel free to just unmute yourself, put on your camera if you want to. By the same token, you know, no pressure to engage and involve. Amanda and I, as you can probably tell, can probably stay here chatting by ourselves for
right.
Inevitably. Well, so we will carry on. Oh no, it looks like Mark's unmuted. So
hey, yeah, Mark. Awesome.
Everyone can hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yes, I'm going to keep my camera off because maybe I haven't fully woken up this
morning. Oh, so. It's early in Calgary.
Not that early, but you know, what was fascinating to me is I'm actually in the same kind of midst of starting my own business. And I mean, it's been about 6 months, but a lot of that was, you know, COVID related and that. But there's also potential to get a full-time job again. I had been looking
prior to... No, don't do it.
To...
Don't do it.
I know, Olivia. We'll talk about this further, I'm sure. but so here's the challenge. The potential job moved me back to my family. I'm very close to my family, actually. We're in Calgary now in Alberta, so very far from Ontario. And it, the position is a high-end position where I would have purpose and value. I haven't got the job yet, but it does. It starts hitting off some of those values and those expectations of I'm closer to family. Where I mean, we would literally be in the same city with my brother and my spouse's brother and their families. And you know, and it's a stable income. You know, potentially I could continue my belonging work, you know, on the side and through this work. But it comes down to this expectation. I know it's challenging for my spouse, for me to be in an entrepreneurial enterprise that doesn't have the security that our jobs in the past have had. And that has put on a lot of stress on her. And mm-hmm. and to be fair, it's I'm in this mix of I'm not sure what I would want because things are going very well. All things considered, I'm really excited about where my business is going and the impact I think I'm having with belonging.
Whew. Yeah, that's
a lot of expectations.
Wow.
For sure.
That is a really challenging position to be in, and I don't envy you that. You know, it's that's a big, tough decision. You know, because
as we talk, as we talk about values, there's two conflicting values here. Mm. One of my family, and you know how powerful and important they are to me, and including my relationship and friendship with my spouse, and how wonderful that is, and supportive she's been. And also the fear and doubt I've had within the business, but the value of being purpose driven and knowing what I'm doing now, it feels very purposeful and wondering going back into the routine of a, it's still a high end leadership position, but again, feeling that am I going to be as purposeful in my work as I am now? And really conflicted. And again, I don't have the job yet, so I don't have to worry about it until, you know, an offer might actually come. But it's caused me to reflect on my values, on, you know, where I'm at.
No wonder.
Well, what, if you don't mind answering the question, Mark, what led you to, so it sounds like you quit a full-time job to pursue your own business. And what led you to make that decision to begin with?
So actually, I didn't. Actually was looking for purpose. I was in a position of saying, well, you know, these roles and the challenges I've had have led me to, you know, seek out purpose and where I can make a difference. So that was what led me there. And again, partly of being privileged and being able to be financially secure and understand that. And even then I would say that if this position was anywhere else, I probably wouldn't have considered it as much, maybe not even applied for it. But right. Now that I'm exploring it and it's working with student leaders and in higher education. And that was my work and passion before that. In a very different system as well than the system that I was challenged, which led me to leave the system. So, it's tough because I'm not sure. And so, in fact, I was nervous about starting the business, and it was almost like, well, I have to do something. You know, and the more I got into it, like many things in my life, the more I got into it, the more I was like, I'm really enjoying it, and I'm stretching myself. But it also comes to the point, did I learn and grow from that, and that's wonderful and I can reflect back on that experience, or is it no, I'm doing myself a disservice by not continuing on? I don't know.
It's a really tough, and as I said, I don't envy that position, that choice to be in, because you know, Amanda, you know, living this life that we're doing, like trying to create a something really pretty much from nothing. So you, myself, and Mark are all in the same position doing this.
Right.
It's really tough. It's really tough.
It's much harder than I ever expected it to be.
Oh, yeah.
So, really tough.
And, you know, and this is where, you know, I live with self-doubt every day. You know, I really do. And I totally live this work. And, you know, and nobody, Mark, nobody can make that decision for you. Just to say that, you know, it's like, you know, I often think like it would just be easier just to give this all up, you know, especially because actually my ambitions are not that high, you know. Right. I just want to be able to, you know, right. live comfortably, do you know? Yeah. Yeah.
But, I think the family thing, yeah, that's the tough one, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah. Because it sounds like that's really the only reason you're considering it is to be close to your family.
Yeah, I think it meets both. I mean, if it wasn't, it's not just a job that I'm moving to be closer to my family. It is a job that would have purpose and meaning.
Yeah, sure.
But it does kind of check off that I kind of left that whole higher education system because it was challenging. This is a little different in the way it's run, and that's great too. And I think I'll be able to explore that if I get offered, I'd be able to, you know, kind of ask those tough questions to really see, okay, what am I getting into and how's this fitting my value system? But,
right.
you know, we've been in Calgary for 5 years now. And it's lonely. It's lonely out here. We're not sure we belong, you know, kind of fitting in sort of idea because, yeah, we don't know anybody, you know, our Canadian Thanksgiving coming up, and for the fifth time in a year, we're going to spend it just the four of us, my immediate family, my partner, my two daughters. I mean, it's lovely and I spend so much time with them and it's wonderful, but it is starting to get lonely, and I can see the impact on my daughters being away from extended family, and we know people and the neighbors are very nice and we have dinners with them, but it's just not the same. And so, yeah, that's challenging, but they're also very comfortable here. My daughters love being here. So that's also, you know, me taking away from that. Lots to think about. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for sure. I guess the only thing I would quickly add is to, which I'm sure you've thought of this, but just because you make that change now, because it's right for your family now, doesn't mean it's forever either. And so mm-hmm. if it's right for your family now, maybe that's, you know, good. Maybe that's what you guys need for now, and then you can come back later and reassess. Mm-hmm. You know, nothing is forever. You know, yeah. That's the point I'm trying to make. Nothing is ever set in stone. So,
and the thing about the, you know, starting my own business, it is something where we felt like we can do anywhere. So once I got established, we were actually thinking, is it time to move and can we find a place back? I'm not as established yet. I think I'm making a lot of great connections and seeding a lot of putting a lot of seeds and waiting, and they're starting to germinate and sprout up. But I think yes. COVID is really impacting that ability to, and I'm like Olivia, when we've talked about this, I just need to live comfortably. I didn't get into this because I thought I was going to be a multimillionaire at all. In fact, my sights are quite low with regards to revenue. But you know, and that's where self-doubt creeps in, is as great as headway is, it I don't want to say it's a lip service, but it is all great encouragement, but encouragement isn't activating, you know, your purpose and your work to lead to an actual career. So, you know, that's where mm-hmm. doubt creeps in. And now, okay. So where in the other instances, well, there's no doubt. There's a regular healthy paycheck and purpose and also a little bit of less stress because I'm comfortable in that environment. I'm not comfortable in this entrepreneurial environment, and I'm still learning daily, which is also amazing because I love learning, lifelong mm-hmm. learning. And so regardless, I feel like we can take the experience from this and really learn and grow from it. But as you said, yeah, it is something I can continue still doing on the side. And then who knows, I can pick it up again, you know, knowing that I've delivered, you know, done the groundwork and kind of maintained that system that I've already created.
Yeah.
I love what you were saying there, Amanda, just in response that, you know, it's not about making a right and a wrong decision sometimes, is it? It's sometimes, and I think, you know, sometimes it's really interesting, I think, sometimes to just hold back and let things to unfold a little bit.
Yeah.
And often the, you know, the right way will, the right path will show itself, if you like, sometimes. And, you know, and having trust in yourself and having that kind of support, the family and those kind of things are so important. Yeah, so Mark, good luck with that, and you know,
yeah
definitely. We'll see where this goes. Anyway, we're coming up to time now. And thanks for that, Mark. Thanks for coming on and sharing what's going on for you and what this brought up for you. It's really, really good to have that interaction. So Amanda, I'm just going to pass it over to you. Is there anything that you feel that you want to say that's been missed?
Not that I can think of. Like you say, I think we could probably talk all day long, but I think, yeah, we're a pretty good spot. No, I really enjoyed it.
I think we should talk about doing some collaborations. Let's look into it. Yeah.
Yeah, because our work does align very well.
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah.
And Mark, too. It sounds like his work would align very well, too. So, yeah.
Mark's doing some great work. It's like breaks my heart a little bit what his challenge is going through, because I really believe in his work that he's doing.
Yeah.
Anyway, we'll look into that more another time, I'm sure. Right then. So, Amanda, just to finish off, where can people find you and what you're available for?
Sure. So I have my website, which is the Expectation Gaps.
With an S.
ExpectationGaps.com is the easiest place to find me. I'm also on LinkedIn, Pinterest. I've started doing Instagram. I've kind of pulled off of that a little bit, but those are the main places that you can find me.
Right. I'll make sure I put links to your stuff. And
awesome.
Especially the thing about the values, which I think sounds really interesting.
Yeah, I'll get you that too. Yeah. Yep.
Great. Okay. We'll hang around for a bit. We'll turn off recording now. So thanks everyone for joining us today. Stick around if you have a fancy little post-recording chat. That would be great. So just to say, next week, we're going to be talking about resilience. And I've got Dr. Carol Pemberton coming on. She's a book about practical guide to resilience for coaches. Can't remember the exact title at the moment. But anyway, that will be a really great conversation about resilience. So thank you, everyone, for being here. Thank you again, Amanda. And I'll see you.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you.
Lovely. I'll see you next week.